Hey everyone, Mr. Devil here, Kenny Danico, three-time Stanley Cup champion of the New Jersey Devils, and you're listening to the Uncle Puckers New Jersey Devils podcast with Chris, Dan, Bobby, and Tony, the Uncle Puckers. Let's go, Devils!
Let's go, Devils. Yeah, this is the skeleton crew version of the Uncle Puckers. It's just Chris and Tim today on Christmas Eve. Everybody else is doing their family and festivish bullshit, but I'm glad that everyone is here to listen to us talk about the wonderful, amazing ass whooping that New Jersey put on the Rangers yesterday afternoon. We're going to talk all about it, but before we start, just remember that I put the Chris in Christmas, Tim. It's all about me, okay? And Tim, can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry, that just froze up for a second.
Hey, Tim, you were supposed to laugh at my joke.
I missed your joke because I froze up for a second.
Damn it, Tim.
That was funny, dude. Sorry, like that? Or?
No, forget it. It's over now. I don't even know if I want to do this podcast anymore with you.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm still not over your slander of Rush.
All right. So, Tim, Merry Christmas. How are you, buddy?
Man, I'm good. I am one of those annoying people that kind of is organized and ahead of the curve about Christmas. So I've been done and dusted for a couple of weeks present-wise. Everything's ready to rock, ready to go. I have a little bit of, some have called it OCD when it comes to organizing packages and presents and stuff like that. And, you know, I've gotten into a pretty good rhythm with my kids in terms of them just adding stuff to an Amazon wish list. Liza, you're not getting the Audi. You're not old enough. But other than that, I'm good. I'm excited. You know, I'm going to go be in Annapolis with my family. It's pretty small, you know, 8 or 9 people, and have a nice little dinner. You know, it's been about 20 years of the presents for me dwindling. You know, it becomes more about the kids. You get that. And I've started to get like the one random thing that I like really need as opposed to anything that I want. Except for yesterday, I got what I wanted.
What'd you get?
An absolute fucking beatdown of the New York Rangers. Just embarrassed the shit out of them, kicked them out of our building, sent them back to their ghetto ass train station, had to deal with Lincoln Tunnel traffic, 9th Avenue traffic, pulling into the train station. I lived in the city. It's fucking atrocious around that time of year when they had to pull in. I hope they hit every goddamn car on the way back in, just stewing on that loss. They should be fucking embarrassed for themselves at how bad of a hockey team they are. And it is just feeds my cold, dead heart with how bad they are.
Let's talk about the Rangers for a few minutes, because you're 100% right. I mean, if they are not spending this Christmas crying into their eggnog with embarrassment, it really is just that. Like, this is a team that won the President's Trophy last year. They are a bunch of fucking frauds to the highest degree. That's what this team is. Like, when you come in, this is the arch rival, right? We are, 12, 13 points ahead of them in the standings.
Shit, I froze again.
The whole thing flipped over, you know, from last year. Tim, your internet connection blows. But
like I said, you know, I live on a farm and there's
right. Move to civilization.
I'm trying.
Well, you're going to Annapolis, so that's
civilization. Naval Academy. Yeah.
This is true. I have a friend of mine that moved out there years ago, her and her husband. So if you see him, tell him I said hi. So sure. Yeah, this was they should be embarrassed. Like, this, you're going into our building. You're coming off just a horrible loss against who they lose to last time. They got shut out by
the Rangers.
Yeah, no, who they play before us? Didn't they lose? Because they beat Dallas and then they went and lost to somebody and then to us, or maybe
Dallas
and yes, Carolina. They lost to, right?
It was Carolina. Yeah.
So. Yeah. The two teams that are above you in the standings, these are 4-point games. Like, okay, I get it. Things are shitty. But this team still has talent on it. And to go out these last two games, especially against us, and play the way they played after that first period, it was amazing to just see this team's fall from grace. It has been so much fun to watch. And then we'll talk about the sideshow, you know, the sideshow freak that they brought in, that this guy is going to save their season. And I keep on seeing on X, like, oh, it's crazy. After the 8-game suspension, he'll be ready for the Devil game. If any Ranger fan is, like, just deluded enough to think that Rempy's going to be in the lineup, I think, ever again this year, like, they'd be fucking crazy to put this idiot back in the lineup. But we'll talk about all of it.
You know, their shadow GM, Sarah Palin, seems to think he's...
That's right. Sarah Palin is putting out pro-Rempy
from tweets. The cloud. So I had no fucking idea that she was actually dating Ron Duguay.
Who's you know, Ron Duguay?
He's like a Rangers analyst for a while. He played for them in, like, you know, 80s, 90s. Like 70s hair, wears, like, you know, stylish shirts. Stylish. I use that term loosely. Buttoned down to, like, his chest. He's, like, he's who you expect. But how Sarah Palin and him met and are somehow dating, like, just... We're living in the strangest timeline for that to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's a hockey mom. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
What's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? Hockey moms wear lipstick.
Well, you know, she can see Russia, so, you know, there's that.
Oh, my God. What a fucking ding-dong that one is.
But, you know, them, like I said, the President's Trophy, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. What is that? Two of the past 3 years, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, except for the 1 year that we knocked them out.
Yeah.
And they're running back the same team, that, and just everyone on that team has suddenly fallen off a cliff. Kreider's fallen off a cliff. Mika Zibanejad, I don't know what happened to this guy. He is awful. But it was the same kind of demoralizing thing that would happen to us last year.
Yep.
The Rangers were actually playing pretty well in the first period, and they were actually controlling kind of the game. They were forechecking well. One thing I think, you know, and if you remember, like, back, you know, in our incredible season when we played Carolina, they just forechecked the shit out of our defense and really kind of caused a lot of turnovers. Like, the Rangers did a good job. They were sending two forwards in. And one thing that the Devils have been doing a lot really well is slowing down the pace of things. They go D to D, but they pass puck D to D behind the net to really kind of slow down the pace, kind of create layers in their zone exits and breakouts. And we break out pretty consistently. We're one of the best breakout teams in the league. The Rangers were sending two guys in that kind of cut off that pass, and we were having a hard time getting it up the wall because then they'd have a defenseman pinch and kind of cut that off. So they were actually doing that pretty well in the first period. And then Jack scored, and the fucking wheels fell off. Like, those guys looked so miserable on the bench, and I was just sitting on my couch on a Monday afternoon just like, I'm having the fucking time of my life watching this.
Seriously, you're exactly right. The amount of energy after Jack's goal that just got, you know, let out of that fucking bench, they had nothing. And I know Trocheck, I give him credit, like, okay, you know, you're going to stand up and to Cotter, try and light a little fire under your team's ass. Absolutely. Trocheck is one of the only ones, him, Will Cooley, Berard, is that the kid's name? I like him. These guys are playing good. I think, you know, Filipedal's playing well, but you're not going to win a Stanley Cup with Filipedal and Will Cooley. You're going to win it with Panarin and Zibanejad and Kreider and Trocheck, and those guys were invisible. And like you said, Panarin and Zibanejad, I barely heard their fucking name yesterday.
Yep. Yep.
You know, it was like the second period when I finally heard Panarin's name, and I was like, oh, I thought he was still injured or something. I didn't even know he was in this game. This is just how lifeless these guys are. And full marks to the Devils. Like, they are doing what they've done now over the course of this season. Now you're starting to see the form of this team take shape. And it's like, holy fuck, if this is what our team is moving forward, this defensive juggernaut that can essentially score at will, have solid goaltending when called upon, it's a recipe that Devil fans, especially ones our age, know works. It's a recipe that wins Stanley Cups, except this team, as opposed to the teams that won cups, offensively, I don't think that maybe 2000, you can say the 2000 team had the offensive firepower.
We were pretty good that year. I think we were like second or third in the league in goals.
Yeah. And in 2001, we were first when we lost the finals to Colorado. But those 2 years were an outlier of the Devils' decade of dominance as a whole. those two, we were never the offensive team. We were boring. We were a trap team. You know, nobody wanted to watch us. Like, if there is anybody that gets bored watching this Devil team, you need to get your fucking heart rate checked, because this team is exciting. And this team that Sheldon Keefe has built so far, it took, you know, what, 3 months to kind of get it into form. This is a team that, by all measures, can win a Stanley Cup this year with the way that they're playing.
Absolutely. Like, you know, and let's say, you know, be clear, Fitz built it. Like, he again, you know, we'll go back to this. Like he does a very good job every offseason of identifying needs and filling holes with the right players, finding issues and filling holes with the right players. You can complain about individual players, but as constructed and with what keeps getting out of this team, we're one of the most complete teams in the league, if not the most complete team in the league. And just the defensive game that they're playing, like I was talking about just now, like with the Rangers forecheck, it didn't matter. Like you know, it was kind of a bend but don't break. Like, yeah, they were kind of getting on top of our D, but they still only had 5 shots in the first period. Like, it's just the shot suppression masterclass these guys are putting on. They don't allow high danger chances. The Rangers had like 1 decent chance, and it was on a power play that Brat scored it out. You know, another person's name that I didn't hear yesterday was Chris Kreider. Wonder what he was doing.
I think I saw him eating a hot dog up in the press box. that was about it.
Like, Healthbaum and Chris Kreider, who is their net front power plant guy. And
he's
actually
a devil killer. He's the closest thing they have to a devil killer on that team.
Yes. He's the only guy that scored on us last game when we won 5-1. Like, he's the only guy who scored a goal on us in this season so far. And to Healthbaum him when the problems are so deep, I don't know what they're doing. You know, they shipped off Kako for whatever reason. And the guy that got back, Will Borgen, got absolutely fucking caved in against us. That was just a delicious little subplot, too. I honestly, fuck them. I don't even really want to think about them much anymore because they are such a bad team. Let's worry about the Caps. Let's worry about Carolina. Like, those are our rivals right now.
Absolutely. But we're not done with the Rangers yet. No, of course not. There's just one more thing I want to touch on, and then we can move on. But I have to ask you, because I thought about this a little bit with Kreider being the healthy scratch. Is this trying to light a fire under the team's ass, or is there a trade that's on the blocks as soon as the no movement gets lifted after the holidays and Kreider's out? Because I'm thinking that could very well be why he sat last night.
It could be either. You know, they are freeing up a ton of cap space, and you know, they may just be writing off this year. Moving Kreider, I think, would be a huge mistake on their part. That guy, you know, he has been a Ranger for life. He's a guy who should have his numbers in the rafters at MSG at the end of his career. Shipping him out, just, I feel like that would be a devastating mistake. And it could be, you know, he and Mika have been connected at the hip for 5 years, 10 years, something like that, however long it's been. And I just, maybe it's light a fire under Zibanejad. I don't know. I don't know what the logic is, but they're not identifying the root problems of their issues. You know, Keandre Miller hasn't progressed. Adam Fox hasn't, you know, he's taking a step back. I don't even know who some of these fucking guys they were playing last night are. Like the guy that Brat buried in the second period.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy was.
I was like, he has like a 10-letter Finnish last name, and I'm just like, who the fuck is this guy? I have no idea. And it's just, I'd say it's sad, but I am so just delighting in their
and game. You know, Ranger fans think that you need to really come to terms with the fact that you're not making the playoffs. It's not happening. You know, the mess that is the bottom of the Eastern Conference right now, fighting for those 2 wild card spots. I mean, I just think that there's one wild card spot available, because I think that Boston and Tampa, who's ever 3 and 4 right now in the Atlantic, I think it's Boston and Tampa. I think that they're in, and they're going to, you know, one of them will take the third spot. The other one will take wild card one. So that's going to leave you one wild card spot that now you have to jump. I think the Islanders, the Flyers, and Pittsburgh.
Right. Yeah. So I'm looking at the standings right now. Yeah. Florida, Boston, Tampa have put a little bit of daylight between themselves. You know, they could all fall off a little bit and have a run like the Rangers and fall out of it, but I don't see that happening. Boston's been playing great recently. Florida continues to do what they're doing. Toronto's been about 500, but they lost Stolarz, you know, who was really doing.
They're going to be fine.
I think they're going to be fine. Tampa just, they have, I think Tampa has the biggest goal differential in the league at plus 36. They scare the shit out of me, but, you know, I think it's really going to come down to Ottawa and Pittsburgh in those last couple of spots. It'd be interesting to see how that works out. You know, that Pittsburgh team was coming on, you know, they did the same thing that the Rangers did to us, and I'm kind of noticing this pattern of how the Devils are playing, where the first period is a little bit of a feeling out, a sort of bend but don't break. And then the second period, they slowly kind of choke out their opponents. And the third period, they just slash their throats.
Yeah. That's been the MO since, basically all season. They've gotten any of these winning streaks together, it's the first period. Okay, we're going to figure out what works well against you guys, what doesn't work well, what you can do against us, can't do against us. We're not going to make any mistakes to get ourselves too far behind the eight ball until we figure it all out. And then second period, it's just, all right, guys, we know what we have to do. We're the better team. And they go out there and just maul you. They get a two-goal lead. You go into the third. You're not getting up off the mat. Not when you're allowing 12, 15, 16, under 20 shots a game. You're not crawling out of it. We scored three. You're done. And this is how the Devils won Stanley Cups, except, like I said, this team is much more exciting. I mean, that those teams had Nico Hischier, Timo Meier, and Jack Hughes on them, and Luke Hughes. I mean, look at all the firepower this team has.
And a lot of the guys said it in the locker room after the game. It's you know, we were running a trap. We were, you know, I mean, there's no getting around that. The reason we were able to run the trap is because Marty was so good with the puck. So we eliminated dump-ins. And then we clogged the neutral zone for transition. And that's how we wound up with 12 shots. We're just doing an all-around incredible job right now with a five-man unit in the defensive zone, suppressing shots, blocking shots, getting in lanes, sticks in lanes. They're just so well-coached and such a well-oiled machine. We're not letting off the gas pedal at all offensively. We're not falling back into a trap. We're not falling back into a 1-3-1 or a 1-2-2.
I was just going to say, like, our defense is offense. It's just control the play, and that's it. And when you're a better team, then you have better players out there, you can do that. And of course, you know, we're going to lose games. It's going to happen. You know, no, we're not going to go however many games left there are this year, you know, 51-0, whatever it is. It's not going to happen. We are going to lose games, but this team bounces back. They do look like now, okay, take away that Merzlikins amazing show that he put on against the Blue Jackets. And this team is, I think, about to go on a run. Now, we have a couple of really tough games, and these next two games are going to kind of, I think, really set the tone of what to expect moving forward. And that's the home and home. What is that, Friday and Saturday?
I'm trying to look. I believe
Friday and Saturday.
But Carolina hasn't been all that great. You know, I mean, they just lose Nashville yesterday too. Also, you know, like the Islanders got smoked by Buffalo, which is hilarious.
You know, Buffalo had to fucking win at least one more game, and just shame on you, Islanders. Like, you are so bad. Like, there's another team that it just, you know, we can talk a lot about. But I don't hate them nearly as much as I hate the Rangers. So it's much more fun to watch the Rangers
I've forgotten about the Islanders sometimes.
Right.
You know, when you get like a trivia question, like, you know, all the New York teams from like the Rangers and Buffalo. And then I'm like, the Devils? And then I'm like, oh, fuck the Islanders. It's just, you know, we're so well positioned right now, and fuck this schedule guy again. Like, Friday, Saturday, home and home. But the good thing is it's the same team, so they're going to have the same circumstances we are. So we're not, you know, the back-to-back's not an excuse. The travel is not an excuse. They're going through the same thing we are. But we're the better team right now than Carolina.
Does it start in Jersey, or do we start down there?
They're at us first on Friday.
Yeah, that's good. They have to travel. We don't.
Yes, that's actually a good point. Yeah. So, you know, who knows? You know, they had a little bit of a Thanksgiving hangover this year coming out of that. You know, who knows? But we have enough of a cushion. If we split or even lose both, like, it's going to be okay. Like, I won't like it, but, you know, it's always a weird time of year. But, you know, the past 2 years, we've had these pretty bad slides in December. You know, like last December, last year was really put the nail in our coffin. 2 years ago was when people like Keith Yandel were saying, like, I don't think this team is for real. And we kind of dug ourselves out of that. But we've been just so fucking dominant. Like the record they sent you know, that record they set, you know, 7 straight games under 20 shots. That hasn't done since, like, they started tracking shots in 1959-60.
It really is ridiculous. And you know, it goes a long way to talk about, you know, what the opposite of the Rangers are, right? Like, everyone's talking about Peter Laviolette and should he keep his job and this and that. Now, I don't know if Laviolette getting rid of him is the answer there, but whatever he's saying, and he seems just as defeated as everybody else on the bench. Yeah. Like, it just, he has no answers. The team has no answers. I think there's a huge rift between Chris Drury and the dressing room and management in general. And I think but yet you're not going to, I don't see them firing Chris Drury. I do see them firing Peter Laviolette. And if that does happen, I think the team is really going to check out because I think they like Peter Laviolette. But that's the other, what I'm going with though, is the Devils and Sheldon Keefe is the buy-in. How mature this team has been to buy in. It's not just about, and you saw this, you know, you see this with young players, like guys like Jack's age and even, you know, Brad's age and stuff. Like, these guys are concerned about their own stats. They're concerned about their own numbers. Yes, they want to win, but you see them, you know, not sticking to the game plan. You know, they are absolutely sticking to the game plan. And to see what Sheldon Keefe is doing with Jack Hughes is fucking brilliant. Like, he's taking one of the best players in the league and making him so much more dynamic and lethal. We have now, Jack Hughes is playing in every situation on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Lindy Ruff never would have thought about putting Jack Hughes on a penalty kill. And not only is Sheldon Keefe putting him on the penalty kill, he's thriving in that position. Yep. He's going to be a fantastic penalty killer. And, you know, a couple of years down the road, this guy, him and Brat, when they start, you mentioned it before, when they start taking off, forget about the shorthanded goals. They're going to lead the league in shorties.
They're going to lead the league in shorties. Like, the, you know, the old Oilers of the 80s used to do the same thing. They put, you know, Gretzky and Glenn Anderson and Yuri Curry on the penalty kill because they were like, why should we automatically assume that we should fall back? Like, why can't we still be an aggressor? If our two forwards are better than their three combined, like, why can't we put the gas pedal down? They got some great opportunities as well against the Rangers. They had a nice 2-on-1.
Yep.
And Jack is just such like a I've used the term ninja before with his stick. And he's always been pretty good at that. You know, like, he's been very good at stripping a defenseman, you know, when they're not looking in the offensive zone. But why can't that translate? You know, he made, like, against Pittsburgh, he made like 4 or 5 incredible back checking plays where he picked off passes, and he's so quick and so and just so good in transition that he can turn that puck back up the ice in a heartbeat. And that's going to lead to so many amazing transition risks. Once he really starts to kind of, like you said, figure it out, like, he's only played 10 games on the penalty kill. He's probably paid like 8 minutes in his career on the penalty kill. Once he starts fucking figuring this out.
I agree. It's awesome to watch. I love what Sheldon Keefe is doing right now with this team, and I love the buy-in. And I just love how everybody has each other's backs. Everybody knows where the other person's going to be. They're all responsible. They're just sticking to the system and playing amazing hockey. And it's been a ton of fun to watch. And if I'm the rest of the league, I'm telling you, I don't want to play this team in a 7-game series. I just would not want to do it because they're just going to wear you the fuck down. They're going to frustrate you to the point that by game 3, you're just going to be throwing your hands up in the air going, I don't know what the fuck we have to do. We can't get more than 17 fucking shots on goal. And that's what's going to happen. And it's going to be go ahead.
I really, you know, let's get to the playoffs first. You know, like, that's what I'm been telling people. People are like, oh, when we're in the playoffs, you know, the Markstrom softies are going to cost us. It's like, how do you know? Like, that's ridiculous. But have you watched this team over the past 2 weeks? It takes for goalies need to understand the defenseman's tendencies and what they're doing. And you can kind of see Markstrom slowly kind of understanding what those defense tendencies are. The goalie is part of the system as well. Like, if he stops the puck behind the net and there's a forechecker, if he can feed it to Siegenthaler, can then reverse it back to Kovacevich, and then we're out of the zone. Like, you start to see that happening a little bit. Markstrom got a little loose a couple times in the Ranger game playing the puck, but he's breaking the puck out himself. He had like 3 or 4 like breakout passes. Like, I was all right.
Trying to keep himself as involved as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Like, a fucking guy could probably crack a beer and like sit in a lazy boy.
Exactly.
But if we keep suppressing shots like this, all he needs to do is make the saves that he's making. And I think falling into this nice little rhythm that we have here is just an absolute recipe for success. But let's get to the playoffs first. Like, I'm enjoying this ride, man. This is fucking fun.
This is a ton of fun. And I want the Metro. I want to win the Metro. Yeah. I want to win the President's Trophy. Devils have never won the President's Trophy. Yeah. I want it. And I don't believe in President's Trophy jinxes and bullshit like that. I don't believe in that. No. I also think that this team has kind of this team's been through a lot. I mean, I know we have a lot of new guys, but you take the core group of guys and where these last three seasons have gone, I don't think that they're taking anything for granted this year. I think that they are fully aware that it can go as fast as it comes. And, you know, next year we might be injury riddled and bullshit like that. And maybe next year doesn't have these opportunities don't come all the time where your team is as good as they are with a clear path to the postseason to do something that no Devil team has done since 2012. And that's, you know, go deep in the playoffs. And I think that they're going to be able to do it. I don't think they're going to take anything for granted, win the President's Trophy and then go win the Stanley Cup. And then, you know, you can be that team that, you know, since the Blackhawks that you can say, yeah, no, there's no jinx here. We're just fucking better than everybody else.
Exactly. And honestly, it's a myth, you know, because some President's Trophies winners haven't won, but 16 teams make the playoffs every year. And like 20% of the time, the President's Trophy winner has won the actual Stanley Cup. So it's really not, you know, if one of 16 teams win and 20% of the President's Trophy winners win the cup, then yeah, mathematically that there is no such thing as a curse.
No, winning the Stanley Cup is extremely difficult. And, you know, there's a whole lot of factors that go into it, but I can't wait. I cannot wait. All right. We're going to do a little housekeeping here and then,
housekeeping. Want me fluff pillow?
Actually, I don't know if we are going to do any housekeeping because I don't know if I have my other script. Oh, yes, I do.
Look, people, just get your fucking tickets at Game Time.
I got it. Yeah, exactly. You guys know about Game Time, right? I'm going to tell you about it. Game Time. They have something called Game Time Picks. Its curation makes it easier to save more on sports, concert, comedy, theater, etc. They have all-in pricing, which is a toggle feature that shows you the total upfront with no surprise fees at checkout. You can get a panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy it, and they have a lowest price guarantee at Game Time. If you get a better price, then Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference for your tickets. The Game Time ticket coverage is your purchase will be covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time Picks. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code THPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code THPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. What time is it? Game Time. And the 24-25 NHL season still has that new car smell. I think it's time for a new script, DraftKings Kings. It's almost 2025. And the action is heating up at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. And if you're new to DraftKings, listen up. New customers bet $5 and you can get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code THPN. That's code THPN for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets if your bet wins when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus age and eligibility varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bet must win to receive reward. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. For additional terms and responsible gaming resources, visit dkng.co/ice. That's DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. All right.
Sure. So,
you know, I'm under 20 shot thing is going to be difficult to keep against Carolina because they just love to shoot the friggin' puck. Oh my God. What the?
Dude, I was holding up Jobu the entire time you were reading that. I gotta say, our advertisers must be happy with your focus because I held him up the entire fucking time.
I was reading the script. I have it somewhat memorized. Yeah. Like when I'm listening to like the NFL Network on XM and stuff, and they do the same read, I can recite it verbatim with them. But yeah, to just do it off the cuff, I still need my script with me.
That's all right. Yeah, but Jobu approves.
Fuck you, Jobu. I do it myself. So I do want to talk about Matt Rempe. I do just want to dive into this fucking sideshow freak that he is, right? So, again, an 8-game suspension for the hit on Miro Heiskanen the other night against Dallas. And I've been kind of going back and forth with Matt Rempe. Like, is he a dirty player, all right? Or is he just really bad at hockey? Or is he just an idiot that doesn't get it? Like, I think there's a little bit of everything. Like, I don't necessarily know if I think he's a dirty player. I don't think he intentionally goes out there. It's like Lenny and the Rabbits to me. You know what I mean? It's like he wants to hit you and he wants to, you know, do his job, but he just can't help but take the little bunny and while he's petting it and just break its little fucking neck. That's Matt Rempe. And it's like he's a complete liability. Like Ranger fans that love this guy, I cannot figure it out because if he was on the Devils, I would want him off of this fucking team. I would not want him on this team. He does nothing to, he brings energy. No, he gets you 5-minute majors. He's injuring guys, hurting them. You know, this is not a league. I get it. Yeah. I don't ever want to see hitting leave hockey. Yeah. I never want to see fighting leave hockey. But when you have a guy that just – and in this – well, his elbow keeps getting up because he's tall. Stop.
That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
There have been tall people in this league forever, all right? It does not give you an excuse. Like, if Theo Fleury, every time he checks somebody, nailed him in the nuts – you know, elbowed him in the balls, you'd say, well, he's short. You know, no, you can't have it both ways. Like, this guy is just not a good hockey player. And I think that people need to realize this 8 games is completely acceptable and probably the good amount. Like, I mean, how many times does he have to get thrown out of games? How many times does he have to get elbowing majors? How many times does he have to get fucking suspended before you realize the guy's not good at hockey? And he comes out, and I mean, you watch these clips of him actually playing hockey, not hitting people. He's hysterical. He's flying into boards when nobody's around. He's falling on the ice. He's like Bambi on the fucking the ice.
He's like a fucking giraffe learning, like a baby giraffe learning how to walk. Like, I agree with you. And I think it's kind of all those things mixed in together. I think one, you know what? Look, he is a young guy trying to make the NHL. And he knows what he brings. That's being physical and doing his best with his limited skill set. And he's going to be a fourth liner. You know, that's his absolute ceiling. I think he is just fucking stupid. Like he can't control himself. And he needs to be able to learn how to control himself. Because, yeah, he is bigger than everybody. But that doesn't mean – that isn't just an excuse to, like, fucking take guys' heads off with your elbow. Like, you need to be able to work within the confines of what your physical limitations are and physical gifts are. And again and again and again, what's he been suspended like for 18% of the games that he's played in?
Yeah.
He has, you know, 22 game suspension. He's been, or 22 games he's played and like 25 he's been suspended for. Like, he's not learning his lesson. And what really pissed me off, That was three things in one. You know, it was squaring the numbers of Heiskanen. Like, you can't do that. Like, that.
Yeah, you see the numbers, you got to back off.
Yeah, like, I played against Travis Roy, who got paralyzed playing at BU. He was probably one of the more famous guys.
Yeah.
And he was one of the best players I've ever played against in my life. And it's a fucking shame that happened. He didn't necessarily get paralyzed by a hit from behind, but that angle that he was at where your chin is right at the dasher is one of the most dangerous and prone positions you can be in, and you cannot hit a guy from behind when they're in that position because someone is going to get paralyzed if that happens, and they're trying to take it out. In youth hockey, they put little stop signs on the back of jerseys to warn kids, like, "Hey, think about this. Don't hit them from behind." So that's thing one.
You can see the sign. You got to lay up.
See the sign. Stop.
Yeah.
thing number, and I don't want to take hitting out of hockey. I don't want to take big hits out of hockey, but there's a way to do it. Like, look at our little 5'10" Jesper Bratt, fucking drilled some guy who's twice his size yesterday. Like there's a way to do it. Thing number two is his elbow came up after he started lining up Haskinen from behind, and his elbow, he needs to be able to control his elbows, because every elbow now, when you clip someone in the head, that is concussion protocol and probably a concussion. It happened to Siegenthaler last year. Like you cannot keep getting your elbows. Like, keep that elbow tucked, put your shoulder into shoulder. If your shoulder hits the guy's head because he's in a prone position, that is kind of the one gray area that I don't think the league really has a solution for. And it's a difficult solution. You can't ask a guy to let up, but he needs to keep that elbow tucked. And third, it looked like he jumped a little bit. And if you're already 6'7" and 10 feet on skates, like, you can't jump into that hit, because that provides a lot more force into the guy on the board. So just the mixture of all those things, it's extremely dirty. He needs to learn how to control himself. And what really pissed me off is when he was skating off the ice, he put his hand up to his ear.
I wanted to talk about that.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he's a big, dumb fucking oaf and needs to learn. But that shows me someone who is never, ever, ever going to fucking learn their lesson. Like, it's like, for all the teachers out there, it's like that dumb fucking kid in the back of your classroom that disrupts the class all the time. He's just a fucking asshole and he thinks it's funny. And that kid's going to be in jail. He steals cop cars and kills small animals for fun. He's a fucking asshole. He shouldn't be in the league at his current state. If he can learn something, great. But what he did over the summer was learning how to fight. He didn't learn how to skate. He didn't learn how to hit properly.
And
they have Michael Pekka, who is one of the biggest assholes on the ice as an assistant coach. Michael Pekka needs to take this guy aside and teach him how to hit before actually he does break someone's fucking neck.
And you know, that's the problem. And exactly what you said was when I was going back and forth about, is he dirty? Is he not? The thing that I kept going back to, and I forgot to bring this up, was exactly that. When you're coming off the ice and you're doing your fucking Hulk Hogan head into the ear thing to the crowd in Dallas's barn after you just fucking creamed one of their superstars, that shows me that, yeah, you know what? This isn't just that this guy's not good at what he does. It's the fact that he loves hurting people. And this is what he wanted to do. This is, you know, and to go and do that to the fucking crowd just shows what a fucking complete scumbag you are. Because Haskinen could have been laying there, like you said, unconscious with a concussion, whatever. This motherfucker doesn't care. So last year we heard it with him, you know, oh, he's going to learn. He's young. He's this. He's it. Now he's back in the lineup. He's doing the same shit. To me, he's not going to learn. I don't care how many people you take. I mean, he does a hit like this again. If you're the Rangers, how do you put him back in the lineup this year? How can you trust him?
I wouldn't.
Yeah. How do you trust him to not do it again? Because the league, if he does this shit again and does another high elbow, 5-minute major, thrown out of a fucking game, I think that, you know, what's the next suspension? Indefinite at that point? Like, you can't have a guy that just keeps on doing this. You know, at some point, you have to say, okay, enough. You know, go to the ECHL and figure your shit out. Because
what pisses me off is the kind of tribalism. And it exists in all walks of life. We just saw it a couple months ago when a certain big thing happened. Like, you need to be able to admit when someone on your team does something stupid and wrong. You know, like, we're dealing with that now, you know, with like what I said, you know, and you need to be able to admit that the tribalism when Rangers fans come up and be like, you didn't do anything wrong. It's like, yeah, he did. Like, fucking admit it. Like, right. I'll admit, like, when McDermott fucking elbows someone off, you know, I'll admit that, you know, like, I've admitted when we made stupid fucking penalties, like the amount of stupid stick infractions that Holla takes, like, fucking knock that shit off. You need to be able to admit when, you know, your guy is doing something wrong.
Being a fan of the team does not mean that you have this complete blinders, they can do no wrong bullshit. Like, we're not experts. We're not, you know, in the media per se. We're a bunch of big hockey fans who love the New Jersey Devils that like to get together and talk about it. And if the Devils look, you listen to our shows last year, we were so critical of this team from management on down. It was just because that's what you were seeing. And exactly what you said, I wouldn't sit here You can't just sit here and take the side of your team because you like them when they are allowing this guy to go out there and actually fucking hurt people. Now, all these people like, oh, there's hockey's getting soft, and you know, now you can't hit people. Yes. It's night and fucking day.
This isn't a referendum on checking in hockey or physicality in hockey. It's about one dumb motherfucker that can't control himself.
And I don't want to see anybody get fucking hurt and to the point where they can't play anymore or anything like that. And that's what's going to happen. Like you said, he's going to take somebody out and he's going to ruin somebody's career.
Mm-hmm.
And
if the NHL lost Haskinen, like that's terrible.
Right.
Like that's a terrible thing to happen. He's one of the brightest young stars. For Rempe. Yeah. For Rempe. Exactly. Like if Rempe were to somehow take out Jack Hughes, like that is fucking devastating for the league. And that is not good for hockey. Like, yeah. This is not good for hockey. We want physicality in it, but we want it good, clean physicality. Yeah. The other thing, sorry to go on a rant again, but
please rant away.
You've seen this too. When people are like, you Devils fans watch Scott Stevens for 20 years.
Stop.
The two are nothing compared to each other. Scott Stevens played within the rules at the time, only got what, 9 elbowing penalties in his
career. I think it's like 2.
Is it really?
Oh, I think it's super low. I think he only had 2.
But Stevens led with his shoulder and fucking annihilated people.
That's
it. He hurt people. He definitely did. And, you know, like Marchand said last year, like, yeah, maybe we're trying to hurt people in the playoffs. But he's doing it cleanly and within the rules. Like, you know, that I don't, it's not even a comparison.
100%. 100%. It's night and day.
And, rant over.
Yeah, no, and you're 100% right. He had 4 elbowing penalties in his entire career.
Really?
Scott Stevens. Yeah.
So I just used my dyslexia to come up with 9.
Yeah. He had 4 elbowing. So Stevens has, says here, 2,785 penalty minutes in his career, with only 8 of them being for elbowing. Yep.
Yeah. And if Rempe can harness that and become a good fourth line forechecker and scare the shit out of defensemen with big hits behind the net that are legal and clean, or maybe toeing the line just a little bit. You can't fucking jump at someone's back with a flying elbow. Like, that's some fucking Randy Savage type of shit.
Right.
You can't do that.
My issue, though, with Rempe being an actual NHL player is just the fact that he can't skate. Like, I just put that right in there. Like, you can't skate. Like, if you want to be a fourth line grinder that, like you said, goes behind the net, lays some big hits out on some D-men and this and that, like, you have to be able to get there. You have to be able to line that up. You have, like, Haskinen was the easiest check he had. I mean, he was facing the boards. The numbers were clear as day. He had just gotten rid of the puck, and you just saw fucking a green light to go and drill this guy. You look at the hit on Siegenthaler last year, skating completely off of Siegenthaler's blind side, getting the elbow up and cracking him. Like, Siegenthaler didn't even see him coming. Like, this guy just can't skate. Like, that's his other – like, I don't see him ever being a valuable piece in any NHL lineup. I just don't see it. And maybe I'll be wrong, but he hasn't shown me that he's even remotely capable of playing that part. And, you know, worked on his fighting, okay, this and that, whatever. You needed to work on your fucking skating first off.
Right, right. Go work with Jesse Ratt's skating coach, man. Like, what are you doing?
And, you know, he's a fucking sideshow. And it's just perfect to me that, like, he's a Ranger. Like, it's perfect, right?
Yeah, it's perfect.
With how their season's going, having this idiot out there for an 8-game suspension. But all that being said, if Peter Laviolette is coaching this team 8 Ranger games from now, when they play us again, I bet Rempe is in the lineup.
Absolutely. And we'll put McDermott out there. And, you know, like, what are the, like, that's kind of the, I think, the problem with hockey culture is the Rangers will now look at this, like, what do we have to lose?
Right.
I'd be surprised if Laviolette was still coaching by then, but, you know, I think, you know, you mentioned earlier, I didn't really weigh in on it, but getting rid of the coach is the easiest way to kind of try and correct a sinking ship. I very rarely, and I don't know how often it's actually happened, an actual GM in the NHL has been fired midseason. I feel like it happened once recently. Oh, it's Columbus, when Jarmo Kekalainen got fired
midseason. That's right, they did fire Kekalainen.
But other than that, I don't think it really happens ever.
I'm trying to think. I agree with you. I don't think that there has been that I could remember. I think Kekalainen was the last one, and then they brought Don Waddell in now. But I don't know who. Trying to think, like, was it Rob Blake? No, he's still there in L.A. I know there was talk of him getting fired last year and stuff. And
he should. He's made some.
Yeah, he's made some.
But the Kings are the Kings are nasty. So getting out of what Blake did was he admitted a mistake and dumped PLD.
Right, and he fixed it the best he could.
I think we still have the best GM in the league.
I do have, I agree right now, absolutely. I do have one more. This is kind of becoming a show of just Ranger hate, which I'm fine with. But there's now this talk of, like, Sean Avery as either the new GM or the new head coach. Does Sean Avery have any experience doing either of those things?
No.
This is a guy... Before Rempe was the biggest sideshow clown in the NHL, especially against the Devils. And now this guy's, you know, chirping on social media that he can turn his team around and he's going to be this or that. And then, like, it actually has legs. Like, did he just get thrown into the conversation because he said on social media that he can fix this? Like, I don't know. I don't understand any of it. Like,
I would love for that to see that to happen because that would just be an absolute fucking sideshow. But Avery, I guess, has a pretty good relationship with Dolan. And obviously it's Dolan's decision. And Dolan is such a casual kind of Ranger hockey fan, you know, even though he owns the team, he's such more of a bigger Knicks guy.
Right.
That Avery is the kind of name that resonates with him from a Rangers because of, you know, big tough rah, 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 rah guys. Right. So Avery had a somewhat of a proxy interview on Spit and Chicklets this week where he basically talked about the things he would do. And Avery does know the game. You know, he does know, you know, kind of the X's and O's of the game. And he does this thing with like this little laser pointer that are actually pretty funny if you check them out. I think mostly on Instagram, where he just points out all the soft, lazy shit that the Rangers are doing. And, you know, Mika Zibanejad has been a target to him. Kreider's been a target to him. Kandre Miller's been a target to him. So I think from a special kind of assistant and a coaching perspective, that's what he knows. That's probably where his value is. But being a GM, it's not a fucking video game. I did an internship with a certain GM for a certain team that is on 33rd Street. And you cannot, it's much, much more than just making fake trades up and sending them to your buddies. There's so much more that goes into GM, particularly now with analytics and hockey operations and player development and knowing what's going on in the AHL and the ECHL and where everything is. You know, it's not just, you know, swinging a trade for a guy. You know, there's what's going on in the locker room. How are you talking, communicating with your coaches? Like, there's so much more that goes into it. It's not just moving pieces around on a chessboard and sitting back in the press box. Like, it's a very difficult job. These guys are on the phone all day, like, throwing out speculative trades.
I was just going to say, like, Sean Avery has – I was just looking at – if you guys want to see what kind of fucking real scumbag this guy is, just go on Wikipedia and read his Wikipedia page. Like, this dude is a special kind of fucking douchebag. So – and he has no experience running a team.
No.
Whether
no.
coaching or managing, he has no idea how to do it. And it would be fitting that Dolan would name him either head coach or GM. I would love to see him as GM because I think – 90% of the GMs in the league would not fucking do business with this guy. And, you know, there are a ton of GMs that stick together. They like each other. They work with each other. And Tom Fitzgerald has a great relationship with most of the GMs in the league. But there are other guys that that teams are more reluctant to deal with because they – like, this guy has been suspended a shitload. He's, like, constantly just this, like
– so he was a menace.
On November 1st, 2008, I'm just going to read this a little bit off Wikipedia. Following a game with the Stars against the Bruins, Avery was accused of shouting obscenities at a fan who had been heckling him during the game. A report of complaint was filed with the NHL, but no action was taken. On December 2nd, 2008, prior to the Stars' morning skate in preparation for a game against the Flames, Avery approached the assembled reporters in the dressing room and stated, "I just want to comment on how it's become like a common thing in the NHL for guys to fall in love with my sloppy seconds. I don't know what that's about, but enjoy the game tonight. At the time, two of Avery's ex-girlfriends were dating fellow NHL players. Actress Alicia Cuthbert was dating Flames defenseman Dion Phaneuf, and model Rachel Hunter was dating Kings center Jarrett Stoll. So within hours, the NHL suspended Avery indefinitely for conduct detrimental to the league or the game of hockey. His comments were met with near unanimous condemnation by the Stars organization. Fellow players and fans alike, Stars owner Tom Hicks said he played for the Stars. Owner Tom Hicks said that the team would have suspended Avery had the NHL not acted first. Avery apologized the next day, calling his actions inappropriate and a bad attempt to build excitement of the game. And then on December 5th, the NHL fixed the suspension to 6 games. So yeah, that was just one of the things that he did. He agreed to undergo anger management counseling due to what the NHL called unacceptable and antisocial behavior. Commissioner Gary Bettman noted that both he and league's disciplinarian Colin Campbell had warned Avery several times before about his behavior. And on December 14th, after the last game of Avery's suspension, the Stars announced that Avery would not return to the team, and they got rid of him. One factor to the Stars' decision was that coach Dave Tippett and several of the players, including Mike Modano and Marty Turco, let it be known they weren't willing to take him back on the team. Tippett had warned Avery not to talk to the media about his former girlfriends and was outraged when he did so. According to TSN's James Duthy, Avery's teammates soured on him not long after he arrived. The sloppy seconds incident was the last straw, and Hicks had been actively looking to cut ties with him while the suspension was underway. And that's one story, all right? His Wikipedia page is filled with this shit. That's who the Rangers want to run their team. Please, go and get the anger
management thing is hilarious. Like, and he actually mentioned it in his – because I listened to that little interview with Chicklets, and he actually made some reasonable points. I was like, huh. He was actually the one that talked about Michael Pekka teaching Rempe how to hit. And he had a reasonable take on Rempe. He's like, this guy needs to fucking, like clean it up. Like, this isn't good. So
not meat kettle.
I still would just for the sideshow of it. It would be hilarious.
I know. I would love
the Rangers to see are it. Circling the Rangers are circling the drain. I'm loving it. Merry Christmas to us. But speaking of Rempe and fourth liners, I wrote this up in our little recap. I'm not sure when Bobby's gonna be able to post it, so I know he's running around. But our fourth line, as currently constructed, the Tatar, Dowling, Bastion fourth line, is playing great. Yeah, like they're doing exactly what you want fourth line to be. I know a lot of people who kind of don't really jive with analytics, but their expected goals for has been above 90%, meaning they're controlling over 90% of zone time and chances when they're out there. And that's what you want from your fourth line. You want them to be in the corners, behind the goal line, hammering their D, just pounding that D, just like a teenager in a, just discovered the Sears catalog, just pounding the shit out of the D.
Nobody knows. Most of our listeners have no idea what Sears catalog means.
Are you sure about that?
Oh, I think that most of them that are in their 20s and 30s don't.
All right, fine. They found fucking Pornhub with their iPad.
Yeah, xvideos.com.
Right? Or the ones in their 30s and 40s, they found their dad's Playboy collection.
There you go.
Yeah. So, no, I'm equal opportunity for everybody, all of our listening.
I'm with you, though, about our fourth line. They've been playing great. Dowling has been so much fun to watch. Uh-huh. I mean, he works his ass off. That line played great yesterday. And I just, when Lazar comes back, it's going to suck that Dowling's going to have to go, but I just really do enjoy watching it. I like him on this team. I was actually kind of surprised he cleared waivers. I wasn't, there wasn't anybody needed a fourth line center to just get him in there.
I didn't realize he's 34 years old. I didn't realize that.
He's been around.
Honestly, what I would do, and I'm not, by in this position to do this at all, I think you rotate Lazar and Bastion on the right wing, leave Dowling up, move Cotter to the fourth line, put Tatar on the third line. Then you have Tatar, Holla, Mercer on the third line. Then you have Cotter, Dowling, Bastion, Lazar rotating in and out. And then McDermott can continue watching from the press box and play against Rempe, and that's it.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
That's the thing, and it's like, talking about – our depth scoring still kind of is a bit of a problem. We're still getting, lights out production from our top two lines. But, we don't have any money to bring anybody in, which means money would need to go out. And at this point, with these guys having so much fun and just, you know, with the way they're playing, like I don't think it's necessary right now to bring in a new piece, to send somebody out. I really think there's a lot to a close-knit room, and I just don't think it's necessary to bring someone in right now.
I agree.
We'll probably see maybe a piece come in at the trade deadline, you know, $1.5, $2 million depth center wing type, you know, maybe Fitz will get some retention, but I don't see any kind of big swing for the fences.
Well, that's most likely what you said is a depth piece coming in, giving up minimal whatever for him, a minimal asset for him, and have him come in to help the team out. But there's also that piece of me that if a deal for a guy fell into Fitzgerald's lap, and it was maybe one of our, you know, I don't know, it's maybe top six guys, top nine guys, to go the other way. If Fitz felt, okay, this is for term, this can build our team out better and longer, you know, for a couple of years to come, I'm getting a better return on my assets here, I think he would pull the trigger on a bigger move, but I don't in any way, shape, or form think that that is a necessity of anything he's going to try and do. If something falls into his lap and he says, holy shit, yeah, you know what, I could get Alex Tuck, or I can get somebody to play with, you know, I'd like Palat there, but maybe somebody younger that can do a little bit. Maybe, I'm just saying.
I agree.
Something like that, but I'm with you right now. It's very minimal, if anything at all. If anything at all, because you said it, this, you know, we were, look at Mercer's fucking goal last night. Like, that was a beautiful freaking goal. Like, I'm watching, okay, wow, okay, Mercer alone in the net, and just having that hand-eye coordination and knock that thing out of midair right over quick shoulder. You know, and I've been hard on him, and I've been hard on Palat this year because I felt like they expect more. But if these guys are on this team moving forward, I have no problem with this. I love how they've been playing, all of them.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and it's just cohesion and depth and up and down the lineup. You know, they're all, you know, yeah, I'd love to see Holla contribute a little bit more. You know, I think, you know, Mercer's been a little bit light on production as well, but you know, and I think with Mercer there, it's almost like what is the appropriate deployment for him? You know, is he a first line guy, you know, with Timo and Nico, or is he a third line guy? I think he's more of the third line guy that could put in 20 goals. And if that's what he becomes and plays good defense, we're not paying him $8 million, you know, or the team isn't paying him $8 million. Like, he's making four. Like, that'll be a pretty good deal in a couple of years when the cap goes up. You know, you mentioned Palat, you know, he does, you know, he's gelling pretty well with Jack and Jasper. Like, you know, it took him a little bit to figure out what he needed to do to succeed on that line. And now he's producing. So
if Palat gets moved, and I don't think he will, but if Palat gets moved, it's not going to be because of his production or lack thereof. It'll be because of the age and the contract.
Yes.
It'll be a better contract coming in, and for a younger player that Fitz feels can do the same job. That's about it. It will not be for his play. I think he's been fantastic these last 2 weeks or so, that he's been really showing up offensively and doing now those little things that they keep saying, well, Palat does, now they're much more noticeable. He's starting, you said how hard it is to play with Jack and Brat, and it does take a good chunk of games, 20 or so games, to figure it out. Like, okay, these guys don't play like 90% of the dudes in the NHL. These guys are so fast, so quick with the puck. They have three different – they know what they're doing three moves ahead before they do it. You have to be able to anticipate that stuff and learn from them. And Palat is veteran and seasoned enough that he has figured it out. So, I mean, I'm fine. That line stays where it is. And I think that line would end up being extremely dominant with Palat on it come playoff time.
Yeah, like if we're getting – I mean, Jack and Brat have, you know, 47 points or something. Both are on pace for 100 points. If we're getting 100 points out of two guys on one line – and the third guy's more of a passenger and cleans up every now and then, but he's there to provide, you know, a little bit of space, which he supposedly does. Still not entirely seeing that, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with how they're constructed. Yeah. Nason, yeah. Timo, and He sure are a fucking incredible line. Like that goal they scored last night where Timo bullied him. Timo's been a fucking beast, by the way. Like the way he's just been, he just looks so much faster, so much bigger, so much more of a menace. Like he's really kind of becoming the guy. Like I think he's got four goals in his last five games, 7 points in his last five games. Like he's really coming on. But when he came into the zone, spun off, found Nico, who then found Nason, like that was a perfect goal for that line to score.
Absolutely.
I realize it was against, you know, a peewee level defense from the Rangers, but
yeah, there were a lot of cracks in that defense last night, but
yeah, but it's just, I'm fucking happy, man. This team is fun to watch again. We're having fun. This is fun. Our goalies are good. Contrary to people's opinion, all of our four lines are rolling. Our decor is incredible. There are no holes.
No, as of now, there are not. And we are going to wrap this thing up because it is Christmas Eve and I still have shopping to do. So my wife and I are going to head out to a couple of stores and maybe stop at a Applebee's in the mall for a shot or two of tequila and then and finish our shopping. So that's going to be the game plan.
Maybe a nice little sampler.
Yeah, maybe a nice little sampler, some boneless wings. But, so, guys, thank you so much for checking us out, hanging with us this Christmas. Merry Christmas, happy holidays, all that other hoopla that goes along with it. We will probably be back Thursday at some point or maybe Friday after the Canes game. We'll figure it out. Wherever you're listening to us, a like, a subscription, a five-star review, a positive comment, download, helps the little podcast that could. He's Tim. I'm Chris. We're the Uncle Puckers, and we'll see you when we see you.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, everybody, except for you, Valakip.
Bingo.